Good morning. Let me pray as we go into today's word. Father, thank you for your presence this morning. Thank you for your goodness over our lives. Pray that as we go through this study on prayer, that you would just reveal more of yourself to us, and that our prayer life with you would be deepened, and that would continue to grow as we grow in our conversation with you, in our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, last week I finally finished going through the book of Acts on prayer, and so I kind of just wanted to stick on that, on prayer still. And so, one of the things I was thinking about was I was curious about how many prayers are in the Bible, and how many prayers are in the Bible, but I didn't really want to do the work of going through finding all the prayers in the Bible. And so thankfully, someone did the difficult work for me and did the research and compiled all the prayers into one book, into a short devotional excerpt of things. And so what I want to present to you is from that book are my personal explorations of those prayers. And so if you're interested in that, it's this book by Herbert Locklear, and it's called All the Prayers of the Bible. So if you were ever curious as to, oh, I wonder where all the prayers are in the Bible, some guy did all the research, he compiled it together, put it together, did devotional studies alongside each prayer. So it's kind of cool. So this is kind of what I was able to gather from it. So I'll be going, moving forward, just through some of all the prayers in the Bible. And so here are just some quick facts on just prayer in the Bible. So if you're curious and you were ever wondering how many prayers were listed in the Bible, according to this author, there are 650 prayers listed in the Bible. And out of those 650, there are 450 recorded answers to prayer in the Bible. And so the first time he says that prayer is mentioned in the Bible is Genesis 4:26. And he says that although prayer can and should be done from... Oh, and that another thing in terms of prayer is that there's throughout Scripture, there's different bodily positions of prayer, okay? There's... If anyone ever tells you that, hey, we're praying, you should be standing, give them 2 Samuel 7:18 that says sitting in terms of prayer. But standing is also part of prayer. Kneeling is also part of prayer in terms of a body. Also throughout Scripture, we have individuals with their face to the ground. And also with hands lifted up. So there's different types of when we come to prayer, how we position our body, okay? Probably an unspoken one is sleeping prayer that I hope does not fall on any of you this morning, but I am guilty of myself. So, and so it says that there's, in the Gospels, that Jesus prayed 25 times during his earthly ministry, okay? So in those 3 years of recorded time in the Gospels, it says that Jesus prayed 25 times. Now, did he only pray 25 times in 3 years? I don't know. But those are the only only 25 recorded prayers in the Bible concerning Jesus. And another thing in terms of Jesus is the model of prayer that we have in the Lord's Prayer. And so in the Lord's Prayer, we have where Jesus just reads that out and he talks about God's name being honored, where the focus is on his everlasting glory of your kingdom come, your will be done, which is a focus on God's kingdom and his eternal will. And throughout that prayer, we see God's provision, give us each day our daily bread. We see God's forgiveness is granted, the focus of our sins being forgiven as we forgive others, and God's deliverance that will be provided for us as well. And so Jesus gives us that model of prayer, of how we should pray through the Lord's Prayer. And then lastly, the last fact is the Bible lists at least nine main types of prayer, okay? The prayer of faith, the prayer of agreement, the prayer of request, also known as supplication, a prayer of thanksgiving, a prayer of worship, a prayer of consecration, prayer of intercession, prayer of imprecation, and a prayer of praying in the Spirit, okay? So those are just some quick facts about prayer that I found interesting in terms of this, especially the bodily one, because I feel sometimes, depending on our need, I think sometimes our body reflects that in God and worship. I like how it says one of the bodily positions of prayer is when is being fallen on the face of the floor, face on the ground. I think I've only prayed like that maybe once. Maybe I would say that I could recall to my mind maybe once or twice. And one of those times was when my grandmother passed away, and I was at church and we were worshiping, and I just completely is this standing up wouldn't do, sitting down, and I just completely broke down, face to the ground, crying before God. And there's other times in my life where I know where I've been praying, and I've just, my hands have been up because I felt like I'm battling here. You know, it's like, this is how I fight my battles. And different times. So sometimes I like that, how our body can reflect prayer, how our inner being is feeling in terms of our body. And so just in terms of beginning, is what is prayer? Prayer is simply the opportunity and the privilege of having a conversation with God, that in prayer we get to hear His voice and speak to Him. And so what we have before us in Scripture is the full form of prayer and the fruit of prayer, of how we should pray, of how we pray, and what we think about prayer is shaped by what is found in Scripture. Essentially, we walk on the path of those who have gone before us. You and I, what we think about prayer is shaped by Scripture and our personal experiences. You look at the people in the Bible, they did not have the Word of God fully available to them, that mostly their prayer life was being fully shaped by their encounter, by their experience with God. And so they've gone before us, so we're able to hear their prayers, we're able to hear their interactions with God. And I think that's kind of cool. That's kind of an intimate moment. Even if you look at the prayer of Moses, that's a very intimate moment of God calling someone and that individual feeling insecure about his calling and his ability of how God can use him. But we get to see, we get a quick glimpse of that. Now, I don't know if I would like all my prayers to be put in a book and be read by others. Some of them I might be proud of because they might show, oh, that's great faith. Others I was like, oh man, this guy is falling apart. You know, it's like I journal, and so I read through some of my old journals when I came to Christ when I was in high school. So around, I would say 17, 18, 19, and 20, and I read those journals. I was like, that guy's a bit dramatic. I was like, why am I saying, oh God, my soul, like you've abandoned me. I was like, okay, looking back at that circumstance, it wasn't that bad to exceed that type of prayer in my life. So I just found that curious as I was going through some of my old prayers in my life. And sometimes going back through your old prayers are also an encouragement. They remind you of the history that you've built with God in your life. One of the things I'm always excited about as a pastor and when I'm discipling people and people that are just starting their relationship with God, and they're like, they haven't really trusted God for much in their life because they're just starting that relationship. And I tell them, oh, this is an amazing part in your life, because right now you're gonna step out in faith. And then maybe 5-10 years down the line, you're going to look back and you're going to look at this moment of how you trusted God. And you're going to look at that moment and be like, okay, God's been faithful here. You're building your history and your story with God. And it's always excited in terms of that. And so that's why I like keeping my journals as well, as a dramatic of a teenager I could have been during that time, is also I'm reminded of God's faithfulness in my life as well. And so also I try to imagine what prayer must have been for those who first prayed, that there's no one leading them or guiding them. You and I, we often use the Lord's Prayer as a form of guidance for our lives on how we should pray. But most people in the Old Testament, they don't have anything that is really leading them or guiding them, at least through the initial stages before writings begin to appear. And so for many, prayer was, you could say, an unfamiliar territory. And so it was simply the outpouring of the heart. And I think for many of us, maybe that's how we, unless we grew up in church, but I think for many people, it's kind of, that's what prayer is. If they've never had anyone teach them, they've never heard anyone pray in their life, for them it's an unfamiliar territory. And so all they really have in terms of offering is just pouring out their heart. And I think there's something beautiful about that, that we often forget and we should carry as part of our prayer life for most of our life, is that sometimes prayer doesn't need to look like anything that we read in the Bible. Sometimes I feel that when we pray, we feel like we sound fancier by quoting scripture, when really it's like, yeah, okay, God already knows what David said in that moment. But what is your heart pouring out at this moment? God already knows what Moses was struggling and how he was communicating with God. It's like when we often quote Moses, unless your presence goes with me, I will not go. That's a beautiful quote, but that's Moses' personal moment, personal relationship with God. Where's our personal moment, our personal pouring out, our personal prayer with God in our lives? And so we can quote all these things, but I think we miss out sometimes on just our personal outpouring of prayer of prayer in our lives that come from our heart. And so I want to begin from Genesis. Well, here the writer says that prayer really begins in Genesis 4:26, that most writers agree that this is the first time that prayer is mentioned in Genesis 4:26, where it says, and it's not really I had trouble including this, because it's not really a prayer. It just says, to Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. And at that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. Okay, so when I read that as one of all the prayers in the Bible, I was kind of disappointed, because I was like, well, technically, that's not really a prayer. That's just more a fact of what is happening during this time. But really, when I was looking at this prayer, the question that I asked is like, okay, at that time, the people began to call upon the name of the Lord. And so the question I then asked was, what led up to this moment that people began to call upon the name of the Lord? And the events leading up to this moment are very simple, because this is Genesis 4, so there's not that many events to really go back through. We have the fall. We have creation, we have the fall, we have the murder of Cain and Abel, we have the exile of Cain, and essentially the restart of Adam's family. And this is where we then have when people began to call upon the name of the Lord. Essentially, is what caused people to call upon the name of the Lord? Things went bad. And I can 100% relate to that. That when things go bad in my life, prayer all of a sudden becomes the utmost thing of importance in my life. And sometimes I feel that when we talk about prayer, people will say, oh, the only time we ever talk to God is when we're in trouble. Almost as if that's a bad thing. That's when things are bad, and we set our eyes upon God, that's where our eyes should be. It's unfortunate that circumstances lead us to that moment, but that's exactly where our eyes should be, is is turned in prayer to God. And so when we look at this moment of what led to this moment of people calling upon the name of the Lord, is a bunch of bad things has happened up to this moment in human history that people begin to turn to God. And so when you read Genesis 3 verses, chapter 3 verses 8 through 10, what we really see is the unhindered privilege that creation had in their relationship with God. That in the same passage, when we then realize what was lost and what was broken within creation in connection, how God relates in terms of how creation relates to God, their creator. And so when you look at Adam and Eve, and when they sin and the relationship that is lost in that one moment of disobedience, we see the privilege that was lost, because we read through that passage of how God used to walk in the garden and he calls out their name. In that moment, we get to see the privilege that they had, the closeness that they had, the intimacy that they had with God, that he would walk among them and call them by their name, and that would automatically hear them without any hindrance. But in that same passage, we then also begin to see the downfall of everything. We see the brokenness within creation. What happens? Two things, really. They hide from his presence, and shame within them that brings them to fear. So what happens? God is looking for them, calling for them, and God says, why do you hide from me? So what are they doing? They're hiding from his presence. They're hiding from the intimacy and the privilege they once had with him. And they said, oh, we're hidden because we're naked. And the response is, who told you you're naked? And so there's this shame of why they're hidden before God. And so when we understand prayer, really one of the things that we all struggle with sometimes in our lives is when we don't pray, is this hiding from God's presence. But even more so is the brokenness that we have in our lives, is sometimes people hide from God's presence because of the shame they have within their lives. Okay? Now the beauty of that, looking at the gospel and looking forward, is what Jesus does in our lives and the restoration of that in terms of how Jesus brings restoration. One, Jesus restores his God's presence in our lives. What does Hebrews say? I'm not going to quote it because I'm not going to say where it is. It's there, trust me, in Hebrews. But it says that we could enter boldly into God's presence because of what Christ has done for us. So what was lost, Jesus restores. So every time we come into prayer, we can boldly enter his presence. Jesus restores the relationship that we have with God. All that shame that Adam and Eve felt at that moment, God completely restores that. Romans 8:1 says there is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So when we go before God, we can enter without shame, without fear, and we could boldly enter his presence. And so I wanted to go through all of that because that's really for me where prayer begins, in that moment of creation, of looking of what was lost and what we get as privileged. It's a privilege, really, that we have as children of God. John 1:12 says that he has given us the right to be children of God by believing in him. And so one of the privileges that we have as his children is that we can go boldly into his presence, unhindered, without shame or guilt, and fully enter his presence and have that relationship with God. And so as we go into a time of worship today, I want us to just reflect on this in terms of prayer. Do you remember the first prayer that you prayed? I do. I'm thinking about it. I remember the first prayer that I prayed, and it was a prayer of desperation. I was 17 years old. I was a bunch of stuff were happening at school. I would say up to this point, I've had prayed. I grew up in church, so I had prayed religious prayers all the time. I went to church all the time, so I would pray all the time. But that, I all those prayers, I would say those were religious prayers. Those were, that was just a kid really just saying prayers that were told to him and told to repeat it. But I remember the first time I really prayed where I knew I was speaking to God was when I was 17 years old, and I was crying myself to sleep one night, and I was just crying out to God, and I remember thinking in my mind that it would be better to be dead than to be alive. And that was my prayer. That was my prayer to God at that moment. And I remember, I was like, God, I just remember at that moment, I didn't have any words, but the pouring out of my heart, because I was just completely broken down in tears, was just, God, I need you in my life. And I realized that as I've gotten older, I miss those type of prayers in my life, where prayers that just come from the deep-seatedness of my heart versus just, now that I've gone to school, now that I know more of the Bible, that my prayers become, as Jesus says, don't be like the hypocrites that recite the perfect words, that say the perfect prayers, but their heart, he says, their words, their lips and their words are, they say the right things, but their heart is far from me. And so this morning, as we go into a time of prayer, is let's draw our hearts to him. Let's be vulnerable before him. Not reciting some prayer that we've learned, even though those things can be amazing in those times, but for this moment right here, right now, just what is your heart's prayer this morning? What is your heart's prayer this morning? And as we go into this time of worship, I pray that God will reveal that to you and bring you to that place of your heart just pouring out before him. So Father, I just pray that as we go into this time of worship and we just pour out our heart, that it won't be I won't be using Moses' words or Paul's words or David's words, but I'll be using my own words from my own personal story, from my own personal struggles that I might be going through in my life, that they be my own words felt deeply from my heart. So Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
All these pieces broken and scattered in mercy.
Father, thank you that you draw us near to you, that we could boldly enter your presence as your children, as sons and daughters, with confidence, without shame or guilt, because of what you have done on the cross for us, Jesus. And so, Father, I pray that we would just, that our prayers would just be prayers that flow from our heart, from our own personal stories, our personal struggles. And yeah, that we'd be inspired by this, by the prayers in Scripture 100%, but that also we would not be afraid of just pouring out our heart as well, of speaking our own words before you, of being vulnerable before you. And so, Father, I thank you that when things go bad, you don't hide from us, but you welcome us in. That just as things went bad and the people started to call upon you, Lord, you did not hide, Lord, but that you, in that moment, Father, you'd look for us. And so, Father, I thank you for your presence in our lives, that we may continue to grow in prayer and deepen in prayer. But let us not forget the heart of prayer as well in our lives. So, Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to our community prayer. Let's pray for those that have cancer. Let's pray for those that are sick as well and needing salvation. Let's pray for those that are sick. Those that have COVID, and let's pray for our frontline medical workers as well. for those that are seeking jobs in this season. For Hong Kong and all the diverse needs that we have in this city. For our staff. Pray for our hospitality. Pray for our worship and sound and AV team. Pray for those that are pregnant. Thank you. Yeah, Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness over our lives. I pray that as we go throughout our day, that you would be near us, that we would be in just in communication with you, in conversation with you, as you lead us and guide us. And so, Father, I thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you tomorrow.